listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, J-A-Y, I flow sick. Fuck all y'all haters blow dick. I spit the game for those that throw money, cash hoes, money, cash chicks. Sex, murder, and mayhem, romance for the streets. Only white for mines, a life for crime. And since life's a bitch and mini skirts and big chests, how can I not flirt with death? That's life's a nigga, long as life prevent us. We gonna send a lot till Christ forgive us. Fuck it. Ice the wrist and raise the price on these niggas. Y'all can't floss on my level. I'll invite you all to get with us if you're ball and glitter. When I go all the Harlem prayer walls, my picture. If you get close enough, you can read the scripture. It reads money, cash, hoes. How real is that, nigga? Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a late night on a Tuesday.
I think it's Tuesday.
On Tuesday. And your girl is listening to our podcast because she's choosy.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips and leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate all the people that take the time out to do that because we know you didn't have to do that.
Mm-mm.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Adam and Eve, y'all. AdamandEve.com. Mm-hmm. They trying to help you smang that thing. Trying to help you smang that thing, okay? NegroCon is coming up. Mm-hmm. And you might want to bring your on-the-road dildos with you. I don't know. Really up to you. But they are determined to try to help you spice it up in the bedroom. And I'm not talking just salt and pepper like white people spice. I'm talking some cayenne pepper. I'm talking some paprika. Okay. I'm talking about some oregano, you know, some Lowry's. They're trying to help you spice it up good in the bedroom. Go to adamandeve.com. You can get 50% off of almost any item in stock. All you gotta do is put in code TBGWT at checkout. But in addition to that, they want to give you some mo shit, because that's not enough. They want to give you the big O kit. Who doesn't like the big O? Don't we all like the big O? It was an excellent anime.
It was, for real.
Mm-hmm. And it's also an excellent orgasm. The big O kit comes with a mini vibrator and climax gel. And in addition to all that stuff, they'll give you free shipping. I mean, what else do you want? I don't know. You just tripping right now. Go to adamandeve.com, pick out one item, put in code TBGWT. The item could be anything. It could be lingerie. It could be a sexy new gift. It could be a movie, you know, Blu-ray. I know you're tired of those, you know, online porn where you just don't know what the fuck's going to happen and the clip cuts off at 2 minutes and you got to wait for it to load. No ads. Just straight Blu-ray in your face, blot out. That's right. Just put in TBGWT at the checkout box at adamandeve.com. And get all those deals. Free shipping too. Play me out.
When I ask you to trust me, that doesn't mean that I'm gonna cheat on you. Cause I'm gonna never do anything to hurt you.
Those dudes were the shit. My freshman year of college, it's like these niggas are killing it. All right, all kinds of stuff is happening in the news and whatnot. Much of it disturbing news, guys. Okay, talking all kinds of people fucking with black folks.
Oh,
yes, y'all. It's gonna be one of those shows. It's just crazy today.
Good thing you took a nap.
Good thing I took a damn nap. I guess the first thing, you know, I'm just gonna be all over the place today, guys. I don't know what we're gonna talk about.
It don't matter. I'm just here for the ride.
Ice Cube is gonna appear on Bill Maher's show to discuss the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ice Cube's coming on. In addition to him coming on, Michael Eric Dyson is taking Senator Al Franken's place now that Al Franken's not showing up.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, Simone Sanders will be there. You guys might remember her, black lady that ran the campaign for helped run the campaign for Bernie. The Afro signal went out and all the black people are coming in this Friday. Now Cube apparently was scheduled to appear before all this, and when asked was he gonna like boycott it or whatnot, and he was like, nah. He gonna show up and be there. Well, hopefully we'll see what he has to say. You know, I won't watch the show. I saw a lot of people be like, I'm gonna watch this live now. I guess I gotta watch. They trying to get me to watch it. I was like, the Bill Maher's show has been the same way for 7 years. Mm-hmm. If anything happens,
it'll be a clip of it.
Right. Most of the white mainstream media will share that clip Monday or whatever. Saturday. They always do it. You know, I'm still conspiracy. One of the few conspiracies I believe in is I still think it's basically advertising. Mm-hmm. And because every week, it doesn't matter what happens on that show, every week there's always a clip on like Raw Story, Mediaite, all these places, and I'm like, that's just an ad.
Yes, and I might be wrong, but in my opinion, they had to find somebody to take the place of Jon Stewart, because when Jon Stewart went away, he was the fucking king of them cutting and posting those clips.
In fairness, Bill Maher has always been one too.
Okay.
Like only one person. It was, my point was, they didn't extend that type of viral marketing to the black shows. Mm-mm. So Trevor Noah doesn't get the viral clip share as often.
No.
You know, you go to the, even now, if Jon Stewart were to come back and say anything, now obviously it would be quote unquote more sensational because he hasn't done anything in a while, but the point being, Trevor Noah can say the same thing every night, 5 nights a week. They're not sharing that shit. Mm-mm. That's a black dude saying that. White people don't watch the show as much now, black dudes there.
No, they don't.
When it was the nightly show, they didn't share clips from the nightly show very often. You know, like, they share those fucking Bill Maher clips every fucking week on the hour. Like, I can write it down like clockwork. Like, yes, when I wake up to play ball at 7 a.m. the next day, two or three stories on the front page of Raw Story will be just clips from Bill Maher's show. Like, it's advertising. And without fail, that's what will happen next week. It'll be, you know, when they allot time to talk about this, which I'm sure they will, it'll be put in a clip right there online, and you can just go click play or whatever the fuck. If anything worthwhile is said, I don't know if it will be anything worthwhile said, because one of the things that I think we don't talk about enough when it comes to these black people working in this industry is that they're at work.
Yes, they are.
That's always one of the few things we don't talk about, and I sometimes lose focus of that, and I'm trying to be more cognizant of that, because it does matter, and I do bring it up a lot, and I don't say it as an excuse, but as a reality, which is that most of us in America, if you're black, you don't get to be as pro-black and militant as you would like to be when you got to get a check.
Come on.
Bill Maher is a gatekeeper within that industry. Mm-hmm. I do expect any black person that would go on his show just about to be in the "we gotta forgive him, y'all" camp, and it's not a big deal. I don't think those apologies are for us. Not even apologies. What are they? I don't think those explanations and excuses are for us as black people. Those are for white people that watch the show. But ultimately, they're all gonna be like, there's bigger fish to fry, because he's a gatekeeper to them. And if they were to come out and be like, man, fuck that nigga, he was wrong, I don't have nothing nice to say about that shit, he is racist and all that shit, they wouldn't be back on the show. And sadly, though, a lot of these cats want to be back on that show more than they care about other shit, you know.
Correct.
Like, even Killer Mike was saying that shit about, like, yeah, he shouldn't have said it, and I would punch him in the stomach and smoke weed with him after, because that's what you do when you got a white friend and you 13. I'm like, you're not 13.
Right.
He's not your white friend. He's a comedian. You can't in one instance say, well, he's a comedian, he's a professional, and then be like, he fucked up this bad, and then go, it's no big deal. Like, nah, it is a big deal. It is fucked up. But too many black people can't wait to prostate them. Is that right? Prostate? Anyway, they can't wait to basically lay across him and be like, no, don't attack him, you know. And it's sad, really. That's all I got for you. Like, it's just making me sad.
Don't make me laugh.
Cube is gonna be on there, and then like I said, and he was already scheduled to be on there, and then of course Michael Eric Dyson is gonna replace Al Franken.
That's gonna be a vocabulary conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's in the interview portion up front, so it'll probably be about the N-word and Michael Eric Dyson telling everybody, come on y'all, we got bigger fish to fry, and you know, as the late great Tupac said, if my homie calls, I'll be there, you know, some shit, and then mm-hmm. everybody's gonna laugh at the sideshow of it, and that'll be it, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, motherfuckers putting their credibility on the line for it.
I don't want to be watching it. I don't care.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't watch it before, so I'm not the audience.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't have watched either way, and I don't watch either though, so I don't know. Like I said, I'll see the clips the next day, or people will live tweet it and shit. I'm sure motherfuckers gonna tag me and everything said, cause it's like they motherfucking read my brain, dog. Everything I said was gonna happen just keep happening. The only thing that can't happen is Cornel West be there too at the same time as Michael Dyson. Okay, that I'm drawing the line at. I feel like they got too much black academic beef for them to, that is, it's ironic.
Ooh, the black academic blackouts will be happening up in there.
Ironically, Cornel West and Michael Eric Dyson are the Tupac and Biggie of black academia. So I don't think they'll be there together.
It'll blow up in there.
It might slip up. Full of words. Might slip up and say nigga again.
All right, live on the air.
As a late great scholar, Tupac said, nigga, I hit him up. But yeah, so anyway, that's all gonna unfold on Friday. What else happened? Oh, Orlando Jones contributed his voice to the fray. And it was kind of disappointing. Orlando Jones is a actor that you know, he's known for, I don't know, Sleepy Hollow, the 7-Up commercials a long time ago that everybody seems to have got about. Lately he's in this show called American Gods, playing this this black spider god from Africa that just one of the best monologues I've ever heard in my life. Just so great. And he's been doing interviews talking about it and all this shit, and I guess he decided to take the social media to talk about this Bill Maher shit. Let me see if I play this.
Y'all make me laugh with your fake outrage and your fake social justice. I ain't never said that Bill Maher was not a racist. I said hashtag bad choice of words, but not a racist, or hashtag bad joke, but not a racist. And trust and believe, Bill Maher said plenty of stuff that people could consider racist or Islamophobic or homophobic or sexist. But it's all in the name of new rules and a joke. And we.
It's got to load up a little bit more. So I guess he must have already had said some shit and people went in on him, and this is his retort.
Okay,
all right, yeah, so I guess wait, why is it not even loading anymore? Okay, let me refresh. But yeah, I don't know, I guess he must have already said something. Let me Google that shit now, because I hate when other people do this shit and don't have the full story. Because I'd only heard third hand people being like, and fucking Orlando Jones, and I was like, I want to know Mm-mm. if Orlando let the world down. I know
every time you say Orlando, I don't know if you're talking about Jones or Bloom. I get confused sometimes.
Okay, you had Orlando Jones goes ballistic on people calling Bill Maher a racist. That's on of course the aforementioned BET.com, okay, the home of the woke. So I guess this is a response to that. All right, it's taking a second to load. All right, let's do your thing.
We're gonna have to go to the tube.
All right, sometimes, yeah, I just think the site's moving. I just think my internet's moving slow over here. I don't know, Firefox just like, fuck this shit, man. I don't even like this. All right,
use that Explorer.
All right, it's loading, it's just taking its time. I don't know, guys, but yeah, you know, we see this all the time, because I think racial shit is so highly charged that anything you say that's not like in line with what the fuck people want to hear, it's gonna be a problem. Yeah, Bill Maher's N-word drama drags on. Orlando Jones turned away in. The actor and comedian shared some controversial and confusing thoughts on the matter in a video rant calling out both Marr for his racism and those calling for him to be fired for not recognizing his racist tendencies sooner. Oh, so it's the same video. All right, so I was playing it. I don't know why. He must have tweeted something.
Y'all make me laugh with your fake outrage and your fake social justice. I ain't never said that Bill Maher was not a racist. I said hashtag bad choice of words, but not a racist, or hashtag bad joke, but not a racist. And trust and believe, Bill Maher said plenty of stuff that people could consider racist or Islamophobic or homophobic or sexist. But it's all in the name of new rules and a joke. And we let it slide. We let it go for 20 plus years. And now, because he said the N-word, now we going to pin the tail on the racist donkey?
I mean, what's wrong with that? I get what he's trying to say, but I mean, that's that thing where it's like, if you didn't say nothing before, then I guess you can't ever say nothing. But a lot of people have been saying shit. And it's an unfair ultimatum to pretend that nobody been saying shit for 20 years and then all of a sudden they said shit. A lot of people been saying shit, and when you look at the people who actually are talking about he need to be fired and all that shit, they're not just talking about this incident. They're all talking about 20 years worth of shit. So it's already like a false, it's
a straw man. Bullshit. I call bullshit, bullshit, and more bullshit. Hell, Bill Clinton passed a 3-strikes law that put more black people in jail and destroyed more black families than anything Bill Maher has ever said. And black people call him the...
Is he about to say the first black president?
Black on black crime.
Right?
The kids in Chicago. How do we...
Maybe I'm honestly confused at how this happens over and over, but the... false ultimatum of you can't be upset at two things at the same time.
A lot of
people don't fuck with Bill Clinton anymore because of that. Every time he opened his mouth in 2016, I swear to God, it was like we was covering it on the show. It's like, look what this motherfucker said this time.
People was more ignorant and more ignorant.
Right. People ain't done that first black president joke shit since 2008.
First black president. Huh? What?
For the record, people ain't done, I just want to clarify, people haven't done those first black president jokes since Obama became president, and it was obvious, like, the joke was dead because it was how white people treated the actual first black president. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, Bill Clinton never dealt with this. Like, even with us being like, yeah, Bill Clinton had some unfair, you know, they was going after him for fucking other women, it was da-da-da-da. We all sat around and saw how they treated Obama and went, yeah, joke's over. Playing the saxophone, fucking other women. It wasn't even positive things. It was all like, jokey stereotype things, and it was a joke. It was always a joke. It was never, no one seriously went, Bill Clinton's a black man,
right?
Like, it's so fucked up because it's anecdotal as fuck to pull that out and be like, y'all thought this was funny, but now y'all mad about this. It's like, actually, at the time, you know, things changed. Like, it wasn't always that way. I'm sure that if everybody that could go back in time and fast forward to Obama being president, they probably would be like, yeah, these jokes won't last. Like, these won't look funny in a year or two or whatever, 5 years. All right, back to his comments.
What? Is that not racist? What, he didn't know? Black people going to jail in droves. Everybody knew. It was all part of the, quote, war on drugs. So why don't we start judging people by what they do and not what they say?
Also, that's a little misleading. The war on drugs started like during Reagan, George W. Bush, George H. Bush, or whatever, the first Bush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started way before.
Yeah, I think a lot of people purposely he's old enough to know better, so I think a lot of people are purposely trying to turn the Clinton administration and that time period, now that it's passed long enough, to turn it into like, and black people didn't even fuck with the Clintons and they just kept doing all this shit.
And that's not true.
And it's simply not true. Mm-mm. You know, in a lot of ways, our community was put in a very unfair situation via the war on drugs. The fact that drugs were disseminated in our communities, you know, and that's not just conspiracy theory. That's true. You know, literally drugs were sold to the black community to make money. The CIA would make money off of it, use that money for other international things to fund certain shit off the books. Like, it's like, that shit is true. That's not a conspiracy. That's not just some shit I made up. But I'm tired of black people getting blamed for that, and I'm tired of people acting like we were so wrong. When you're constantly under attack and in turmoil, these long-term solutions that people talk about, they're not really seen, you know, because the immediacy of disrupting a community with drug addicts essentially is what happens.
Correct.
And then criminalizing drug addiction, which is the next level of that, is that what we get from our community. We're fucking superheroes to even have survived that shit, man. They've been I don't want to go on a long rant, but it seemed like they've just been trying to kill us since they got us here, and it didn't work out on their behalf. Like, they just been trying to kill us. So it's kind of sad to see black people use this tact against other black people for the most part, where it's like, y'all thought the cleanse was so great, and it's like, everybody thought the cleanse were better than the Republican option.
Come on.
At the time, take me back to those years and I vote for the cleanse again, because obviously the fucking Bush and Reagan era was fucking worse. Like, I can't, like, it's such revisionist history to act like that, like, the options were Martin Luther King Jr. was running and then these niggas. Like, no, these were the options. People picked the best option at the time. That's actually what happens every election cycle. It will happen until I die. The other thing was, once our community was clamoring for these solutions, because we didn't have the long view of history to deal with this. And also, the solutions weren't terrible, except for this whole thing called systemic racism, which turns every solution against us. You know, the fact that we incarcerate people and we don't rehabilitate people. Imagine if we had a rehabilitative aspect to prison that was trying to get people to be restored to contributing citizens of society, and they can go back out and get a job and shit. We don't have that. So when we put somebody in jail, it becomes a lifelong sentence.
Yes, it does.
You know what? No matter what the crime is for, if you go to jail, you black, that's a life sentence. You're gonna probably go back to jail. You're probably not gonna ever get a good job. You're probably never gonna be able to go to college and graduate. You're probably never gonna have the resources to provide for a family without committing crime. Like, these are the things that, you know, as a solution, we can never calculate these things. It's always a bad choice for us. It's always a bad choice. And it's disheartening to see, especially black celebrities who have made it, who have money, who do have some level of fame, come down on black people so often for shit like, oh, y'all mad someone said nigga? And it's like, yeah, they are. They're mad at that. They're also mad about unjust incarceration. We're also mad about systemic racism. We're also mad about the economy. We're mad about a lot of shit. I don't know why our anger is always used against us. Meanwhile, motherfuckers are courting angry white voters. Y'all, they're justifying. They've written 75,000 puff pieces since November about angry white people and how we need to be nice to them and get them to come over. Y'all are never nice to us. The crossover never crosses over to us.
All right, and I don't give a fuck about them puff pieces. And also, it's one of the things where the laws that lay out for black people, it's funny how those laws change once white people get caught up in the mix of them laws.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden, with the heroin and the meth outbreak and overdosing and shit like that, you got whole fucking white communities where like the whole place, just like crack, the whole bunch of cities and states have skyrocketed in this. And what did you start hearing? We need to reform the drug laws. We know, because why? Because you have the fucking mandatory sentences and all this bullshit, sending white people to jail. And when you send white people to jail, Lord knows you can't do that.
Yeah, it just Anyway, I think it's that, but and you know, despite his passion and everything, I'm not fooled by this. Mm-hmm. This is the same bait and switch topic of mm-hmm. y'all can't talk about this because we got bigger fish to fry, and it's such bullshit. It's such bullshit because it never extends to anybody but us. Mm-mm. Why is it just us? Y'all don't see the pattern of how it's always us that got to talk about some bigger shit? Always bigger shit that we can't solve, by the way. It's always something bigger that it's not our fault and we really can't fix it on our own. Always. But it's like you can't bring up anything, you know? Like next time he's talking about diversity in Hollywood, I would love for somebody to be like, what about the Clintons and drugs? He'd be like, man, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm mad about that too, and I'm mad about this. He knows better. All black people know better. But we do this to each other, and it's unfair. All right, back to this shit.
And please, come drag me. I'm a troll. I look forward to be dragged by you, because I drag me better and more often than any of you can. But I'm damn sick and tired of this fake mock outrage, like we're going to jump up and swing the banner in the air over rebel flags and other such foolishness. Let people fly their fucking rebel flag. Who cares? Please do.
What is that? He just mad. I don't even know mm-hmm. what that has to do with.
I don't know this.
How you end up caping for the rebel flag in the middle of the.
I don't know. The train went off the rails.
It's like we not allowed to even be human, man. We not even allowed to have emotions and react to shit. You're an actor. You know all about emotions and how people react. And I don't. It sounds like. I don't have the full. It sounds like he said something. People went in on him for saying something stupid or whatever, and this is what his reaction is. I'm gonna just turn around and say a bunch of anti-black shit to black people, and that's gonna be my defense. And I'm like, why, bro? Why?
Because we support you, dog. Like,
because I want to know where the assholes are. And when it comes to talking to me about my blackness or my race or what you gonna tell me about racism, they burn cross in my front yards. I'm from Mobile, Alabama, in the deep south. You don't know shit about my racism and my experience with it. So as far as I'm concerned, and I want to be clear about this, you come to my timeline and want to talk shit about me, feel free.
Yeah, it's got to be some niggas went in on his timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's more of it's like, because like I said, it's people, especially on Twitter, who don't have a lot of followers, you don't have a lot of people following you, and you're not big, and you're not famous. Y'all really don't understand. Once that shit get to rolling, it get to rolling. A lot of people are like, well, I'm just one person. You're one out of thousands of replies he probably got, probably calling them all types of coons and, well, you ain't black and you ain't real. Like, I got a feeling he's responding more to that than he is probably responding to Bill Maher.
Yeah, see, he must have said something.
Yeah.
Got roasted.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to Facebook to do his rant, mad. Because that's what it sounds like.
He's mad about something else.
Yeah,
and it's like it all kind of just blended in together.
Yeah, because I'm on his timeline looking to see what the fuck he talking about. Because I don't know, man. This, like, they must have just called him all kinds of coons and questioned his blackness and shit.
You know they did.
And this is an thousands emotional response to that, which right. I, you know, to a certain level, people I understand. Are human,
right?
I don't know what he said at first to inflame this shit.
Cause how many followers does he have?
Let me see. He has, okay, 153,000.
See what I'm saying?
So like, yeah, they probably huge. Been, and he reading them shits, and people probably being like
they lighten them up, and yeah. Actually, you know, that's a really kind of a mid tier. Yeah, some people that have millions of followers. So once you start stepping into that realm, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I can't even imagine reading your tweets if you have that many followers.
Mm-hmm. I remember
one
shit.
Time Justin Bieber posted a screen, like the recorded his phone screen, and it was just like, it just like a continuous scroll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to see what he got to say. Yeah, I don't know, because it would have been like 2 or 3 days ago, so it would have been like, he tweets a lot, actually.
That's the thing, he's probably very active too, so you know, all of a sudden you go from tweeting about whatever the fuck you are to ding-a-ding, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding.
Yeah. All right, let me play some more of this. It's almost over.
Because I don't give a fuck what you think about my blackness. I was born black. I'm going to die black. And I'm damn fucking proud of it. And ain't no sense in acting like I'm not. And if you got a problem with that, please, please, please go fuck yourself.
Yeah, sound like, honestly, that really sound like that anger is at them trolls and whoever else was at him. You know, they might have even been valid, but it all looks the same to him.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. I'm just going back and looking at this shit. June 5th, because that's like about when it happened, like June, what's it, the 6th? Actually, it's longer than that. This is, it'll be about like June 4th or 3rd or some shit. I'll keep scrolling, but my guess is that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because after a while you quit talking about it. It's like the train went off the tracks and you started going in other directions, which is probably the shit you really wanted to talk about anyway.
Yeah, and I think I am a bit sensitive to that because I've had it happen to me where I'm just like, my experience in this is different than how people on the outside are viewing it.
Right.
And people always
make these assumptions.
They always make this assumption like you're living in a vacuum or your experience is the same as theirs, where it's like, well, just do this. And it's like, y'all don't understand, like, it's not that simple. Mm-mm. You know, I'm responding to what's being said to me and y'all are looking at my response and then going, this stupid motherfucker. And I'm like, but if you saw 27 people call me a coon and racial slurs and homophobic slurs and questioning my blackness, you will understand why I'm like going off right now. So maybe that's what's going on to some extent. I don't know. Let me see what he said. Okay, so it started with the, yeah, I see him responding to people. You're an idiot. Go away, dude. Slater, if that's your real name. So, I'm trying to get back to what the fuck he said. Coons and Uncle Toms, like at Orlando Jones, will never understand racism the way you do. He too busy sucking a white man's dick. Fuck Orlando Jones. He probably had been Carson House giving Bill Maher a foot massage, whispering everything gonna be all right, master. Yeah,
you know about the ass after it works.
It's funny because it's him replying to Orlando Jones, to himself saying that. People got gifts of him to, saying he defended Bill Maher. Yeah, I don't know what he, I don't know what he said.
Something to spark it.
Yeah, someone wrote an article saying my new write up at Jason Whitlock at King James and Race, we need solutionaries. Send it to Orlando Jones, so they do assume he on that side. I delete two tweets and take responsibility for the fact that my attention was not clear. That's my fault. That's not your fault, it's mine. So I guess he got some tweets he deleted. I'm just trying to investigate this live on the air, y'all. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is Twitter investigation.
Got something that Lipstick Alley put on there about the tweets.
Oh, in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get to the bottom of this, y'all. Live, the Blackout Tips, Twitter investigations. Okay, we are doing this on the air. We're gonna find out what the fuck happened, because I feel like
people,
this can't just be that simple. Let's see here. All right, according to this, oh, when you're at Bill Maher, you almost always date black women, and you might think it's okay to use the n-word, hashtag bad choice, but he ain't no racist. So he tweeted that, and someone said, I thought we gave him the black pass. David Oliguer responded, we Orlando Jones put a lot of laughing emojis. Someone said, we need you to consider him a racist for this to be inexcusable. HBO needs to fire him. Orlando Jones says, respectfully, I never said that it was excusable, nor did I position myself as a judge or jury on racism. I stated my opinion. Please check your tone. Yes, your hashtag is a personal opinion. Please don't act as if opinion of blacks in the industry won't influence how this plays out. Orlando says, I'm going to defer to you here because I'm not looking for a fight. I have no idea what influence you're talking about. David Oliguer said, Bill Maher may know black pussy, but he doesn't know black people.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, man. It does sound like he was caping at first and got called out. I don't know what to tell you. And he deleted that shit because I know he was sometimes, maybe he was trying to make a joke or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, I can see why he deleted that shit. It sounds stupid. You know, because you fuck black women don't mean you get to say nigga, or that you not racist, or that you got some type of pass, or we should honor that because he did fuck these black women, so the rest of black people got to sit around and be like, well, it's okay, he fucked Superhead, so he wanna call black people name. Like, it, we all know that that's not how that works, you know. So I don't know, man. He says you can't expect people to read and understand sarcasm, so I guess he said he was being sarcastic in that, so maybe he was joking. You can't expect people who can't read to understand sarcasm. I'm excited to troll the shit out of them for the rest of the day, lol. Yeah, somebody brought up, you know, with that shit about Bill Maher can't be racist. It's like, slave owners fuck slaves. Well, they can't be racist?
Come on,
what does it mean that you fucking a black person? Yeah, it sounded like he got mad because people went in on him, but the original tweet sounds very defensive of dude, and maybe he meant it sarcastically. It's going to be hard for people to read that sarcastically. And he sounded all over the place with the whole, like, but he being a racist and y'all ain't say shit. Like, no, that's a lie. People have been saying shit. You just, now you're crafting a narrative so that you can, you know, admonish black people that get mad at you. But any of those black people that are mad at Bill Maher, being mad at Bill Maher. And a lot of black people are going to say that this week. Mm-hmm. They're gonna, cause that's what we always do. We always turn on other black people. We never really just go, that's black anger and that's valid, and we need to stop trying to downplay black anger.
Come on.
We're emotional people just like everybody else, and we deserve to be respected emotionally. The world caters to everybody else's emotions, and we sit up there and let it happen for them. Like, the world is like, yep, angry white people, angry this, angry that, angry Jewish people, angry. Then we get the black people, and it's like, why y'all so angry? Like, we don't have reasons to be angry in this country.
Nope. You can't be angry. You can't be sad. You can't be depressed. You can't be nothing. You just have to respond however they think you're supposed to respond.
Yeah. So I would appreciate, you know, anybody listening to this, if you have an outlet, a podcast, Twitter, social media, whatever, start thinking about that before you get on there and start the false ultimatums and what y'all mad about today and shit. Think about that shit. We need to cut that shit out a little bit.
Yeah, because sometimes people,
like, even the people that get mad at woke Twitter and shit, y'all need to cut that shit out, man. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with them being mad. Mm-mm. And you're gonna want them to be mad about the shit you choose to be mad about.
Right.
When it's your turn, you're gonna want to retweet all the think pieces and shit. If we're in a constant emotional state of turmoil, then it's because that's what's been done to us. You know, I don't understand why we always have to downplay it, like, because you're not mad at the same thing at the same time. Nobody else can. And then when you do get mad about it, you always turn on everybody else and go, well, y'all wasn't mad about it. Somebody was. Like, it's not, you're not special. We're all fucking the same. We're all picking and choosing our battles because we can't constantly live in a 24/7 state of anger. Mm-mm. But yeah, we do need to accept that, man. You know, anyway, I just think that's sad to see Orlando say that shit, but I also understand because he probably got called every kind of fucking coon ass Uncle Tom, blah blah blah, and probably got mad.
Mm-hmm. And that's a human emotion.
I'm not gonna play the video, but a video showed a deputy's husband basically use a chokehold on a man who died after a confrontation at a Denny's. The man was Latino, John Hernandez. He basically went outside at Denny's and had to piss, and he was drunk and pissing by the person's car, and this dude come out and punched him in his head a bunch of times, slammed him on the ground, put a chokehold on him. Someone started recording it with their phone. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were friends of the man or whatever, but the wife and, like, the wife of the dude who was choking the guy, mm-hmm, who put him in the chokehold, and some random other white people blocked the camera so they couldn't get the full video of it. The man has died.
All of y'all should go to jail, even them for standing in front. Fuck them.
Right. The footage was captured by a concerned citizen who recorded the incident despite being told by the deputy to stop filming. I won't play it for you guys. It is a disturbing video. I did watch it.
You know, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I didn't really want to see it either, but I don't know, man. I vacillate back and forth. Some days I'm like, I need to see this shit so I don't forget. And then some days I'm like, I don't need to see this shit. I know, you know, and I understand everybody's reaction. Vice, like, if your reaction is, I never want to see this shit, if your reaction is, I'll never not see it, I understand both ways. You know, I'm not judging anybody. At any rate, the Harris County deputies actively tried to cover up the killing at the scene and let a killer go free because he was married to a deputy, said Randall Callanan, a civil rights lawyer. Hernandez died May 31st after being taken off life support at Lyndon B. Johnson Hospital. His family made the tough decision to remove breathing tubes as it was determined by doctors that he was brain dead. This is why that chokehold is outlawed, by the way, in so many places. The family is now seeking justice and feels that his death could have been prevented. Investigators said the deputy's husband drove up to the Denny's restaurant around 11:40 p.m. His children were in the car with him as they waited to meet with his wife, ACSO deputy who was off duty at the time. While waiting in the parking lot, deputy said the husband saw Hernandez urinating in public and went to verbally confront the man about his behavior. Officer said the argument escalated to a physical altercation. Minutes later, the deputy who was off duty at the time arrived in a separate vehicle. What were they even doing at this Denny's? Video clearly shows the deputy's husband on top of Hernandez's back with a strong chokehold around his neck. Hernandez seen in the video kicking his back legs, making audible sounds of a struggle. The husband would not let go. The deputy began telling the person capturing the footage to stop recording the husband because it's illegal. Like, that chokehold ain't illegal. The man did not get off of Hernandez until he stopped moving. When the deputy realized Hernandez was not breathing, she began to perform CPR on him until medics arrived. Neither the deputy nor her husband were injured in the altercation. The deputy will remain on active duty while internal affairs investigates her involvement in the incident. Yeah, guys, if you see the video, the thing for me isn't the choking. It's fucked up. The cover up, if you will. The fluidity of how, and the casualness of just how they immediately moved to block the cameras. The
whiteness gonna protect whiteness.
It really felt like watch whiteness work, dog. Like, they just, I don't know that those people even knew each other. You know what I mean? I know she knows her husband, but I mean, other people that got in the way, I don't even know that they knew each other.
No, because now they know these videos go viral and they post across social media. So they was like, nope, we don't want you to have something that's going to post to get us fired.
Now, this attack also happened in front of Hernandez's young 3-year-old daughter. So she witnessed her dad get killed.
Right.
That's going to affect her for the rest of her life.
Now she's fatherless.
Right. Sheriff Ed Gonzalez didn't beat around the bush regarding how the internal investigation may look to the public, but added he's confident in the office's ability to be transparent, thorough, and unbiased. He also assured that the deputy's husband was not receiving preferential state treatment because of his wife's position. Gonzalez said the investigation is still in its early stages.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. I don't think anything will end up happening to the dude.
Nope. Not at all. They'll just pay them a little bit of money because put like this. The amount of money they pay you rather have the person in your life than that fucking money. I don't know why people go, well, they're gonna get paid. I'd rather have my living goddamn human being, person, family member than your fucking money.
What makes you assume that they're gonna get paid?
Yeah, that's true.
Because it wasn't the deputy that did this, it was her husband. So they can't even really say we're suing the city for this police officer's actions and get money. I don't know what's gonna happen with this. I don't expect them to get money, and I don't expect them to get justice. Neo warns women not to go to Tyrese or any man for relationship advice. On Monday night, singer and actor Tyrese posted a meme on Instagram asking for men only to give relationship advice to women in the comments. So he ain't learned shit. God damn it. My mama taught me better than this. Nigga, you ain't learned a goddamn thing.
Mm-mm. That's why I said kiss my ass. Kiss my whole entire ass. Every time a woman gets, particularly black women, get mad at something, my mama, my sister, I don't give a fuck about none of them bitches. They didn't do it. You did.
Yeah, he posted a picture that said, men only give ladies some relationship advice. God damn it, man.
Quit using them as a shield for your fucked up opinions and actions.
And Neo came through with the best response and said, don't listen to any of our advice. Do what you want. Yeah. because you know, other responses were, listen to your man and respect him, stop chasing money, start chasing love. Yeah, this whole man, like, and this is why I don't have any tolerance for the people that defend Tyrese and his bullshit, because they always make it seem like they always wait till after he says something stupid and uneducated and ignorant and inflammatory, and then they come in and be like, why y'all get mad at Tyrese? He just Tyrese. Because Tyrese is trying to step into a lane of, I tell women what to do. You can't also be mad when women go, fuck you. You can't, like, that's unreasonable. Like, just either don't say nothing. If you don't say shit when Tyrese says these stupid ass things, and don't say anything defending him. He could just as easily just be Tyrese, the happy man that makes all the money and doesn't say shit. And we'd be like, Tyrese is a millionaire and everybody likes Tyrese because he never says shit and he just makes his money and does his job. All these other motherfuckers that work in these same movies with Tyrese somehow not falling into the controversy, right? Like, when they do interview rounds for Fast and Furious, you'll never see Ludacris talking about, this is what the ladies need to do. Mm-mm. Like, he just out, he ain't doing no videos to be like, listen, women, this is like, people just let Chris be happy. They just like, nor Ludacris,
nor The Rock, nor Vin Diesel, none of them.
Right. It's a reason it always comes down to him, because he keeps stepping out of his lane, dog. Let's see what else happened. Vivica A. Fox is sued by former business partner for poaching dancers and defamation.
Oh, shit.
Let me tell you something. This woman, Vivica A. Fox, stay in a lawsuit.
Don't she, though? What? About to lose the money because you're saying something ignorant.
Boy. She's the former host of the short-lived Lifetime series, Vivica Like Magic. Oh, it got canceled?
Yeah, who's watching it?
Poor Professor LCH. Mm-mm-mm.
That was her jam.
You know Linda Charlamagne Harris was watching that shit.
You know she was.
Has been slapped with a lawsuit by her former business partner for libel, theft, defamation, and more surrounding the idea and the cast of the canceled show. In the suit, Jean-Claude Lamar accuses the actress of trying to destroy his business reputation and emotional well-being after trying to steal dancers from his own show, Black Magic Live, which consists of an all-black male troupe. Lamar says Fox employed a concerted effort of defamation, humiliation, and misrepresentation to steal talent from it and confuse Black Magic Live's audience, providing the public with false statements that Fox's copycat dance venture was in fact the real Black Magic Live dance review.
You can't do that, baby.
So she picked the same name, basically. The suit alleges that Lifetime picked up the series based on his show after Fox agreed to star in the series as the owner. Since the network couldn't obtain the rights to the original name, Lamar says he changed it to Vivica's Black Magic. That all came to an end after Fox's controversial interview with Power 105.1's The Breakfast Club, where she said gay men were not welcome at the show, prompting a boycott of the series and live shows. Oh, so
she ended up losing the money.
He lost money for his own shit because she fucked up her shit, and people was like, it's all the same, I'm boycotting everything. However, that did not stop Fox from pursuing the idea. According to Lamar, the actress secretly began planning to start her own male review series called Explicit Minds, using dancers from the original show and television series.
Oh, dang, gonna let you do that, baby.
He's suing for an unspecified amount of damages. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it sounds like you can't do that, sweetie.
If that's true, she about to lose a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He was like, you running your mouth, fuck your shit up and my shit up, dog. Mm-hmm. I'm losing money because of your stupidity? No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we got. Walgreens pharmacist is accused of discrimination after denying a 13-year-old girl medication for an IUD to treat her menstrual issues because of his own personal beliefs.
I wish people stopped doing that bullshit.
You should be able to fire someone for this.
Right, you should not have the job. They ought to be like, look, if you have problem getting birth control, if you have problem getting Plan B pill, you cannot be a fucking pharmacist. I don't give a fuck about your personal religious belief. Just give me my goddamn medication. If I got my paperwork and my doctor signed, what the fuck you got to do with this?
Yeah, Walgreens pharmacist accused of denying a 13-year-old girl the medication she needs prior to getting a IUD because of his personal beliefs. The teen girl, who has not been named, visited the drugstore in Albuquerque, New Mexico to fill a prescription for misoprostol, a synthetic hormone used to soften the cervix before the IUD is inserted. The girl needed the IUD to treat menstrual issues. See, that's the other thing. these pharmacists, and not even pharmacists, people, when we think about birth control, what we really think about is sex.
And it's not always,
and that's not actually the only thing birth control does. It regulates menstrual cycles, treat like in her case it could be treating different issues, whether like, and contrary to popular belief, everybody body don't work the same.
No, sometimes
people can go months between a period, so they're not regular, which can be a hell of a lot of mental anguish and shit when you're like, am I pregnant or am I just not getting my period? Is something wrong with me? You know, whether you're having sex or not. Also, just that, like I said, the issue of you know, the side effects of different types of birth control. So maybe she wanted to take the pill over the counter, like the pill kind, and for some reason that's, you know, she can't do that. We're also always regulating women's bodies as if somehow not giving her the access to birth control, she just would go, well, then I won't have sex. That is normally not what happens. That normally just means she will get pregnant.
Right. You
know, so it's so stupid, man. I hate this. It's stupid. And I don't, this is just one of those things where I tend to get very angry, I try to temper it, but I don't believe in your religious bullshit. And you don't get to tell everybody else how to live because you went to some church.
Come on.
That's your shit. Deal with your shit personally. If you have some conscientious objection to doing your fucking job, the one you went to school for, where they didn't say, and here's why Jesus said, because when you in pharmacy school, they not telling you about mixing up no drugs for Jesus. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with that. If you can't do the fucking job, you need to step aside and let someone do the job. You go be a preacher. You go work in a church. You don't get to work at Walgreens and then tell people religiously, I can't give this to you. Don't fuck with my health because of your religion. Do you do that with people's blood pressure pills? Do you look at people that are trying to lose weight and you're like, oh, I see you getting thyroid medicine, but I just believe that it's the sin of gluttony. And, I think you need to, just stop eating as much. So I'm going to not give you this medicine.
Do that with heart pills.
Right. Do you do that with, boner pills? Do you say, sir, are you married? Is all this sex going to be for your wife? Do you do that? No. It's just another way of using your religion to spread misogyny because you're only judging women. And then a 13-year-old girl at that. Anyway, it can be used to treat ulcers and induce abortions as well. The ACLU, according to the ACLU in New Mexico, they filed two complaints last week on behalf of the mother and daughter. When the mother identified as MS in the complaint, told the pharmacist he didn't know the medication, what the medication was for, he looked at her and said, oh, I have a pretty good idea. Of course it was a him. On the day of the incident, which occurred in August last year, according to ACLU, the mother and daughter had no problem getting two other prescriptions filled. One was for the anti-anxiety drug, the other was for a mild pain reliever. But when the time came to fill the third prescription, the one from Misoprostol, the pharmacist on duty said, despite having the medication currently in stock, he refused to fill the prescription because of his personal beliefs. Why do y'all even have it in stock?
Because people come for the shit all the time and they get it with no fucking problems. So if you're not on duty, what their person would, if you wouldn't on duty, the person would have filled the shit out, the people would have went on about their business, right? Okay.
The teen had to get the medication right away because her appointment to get the IUD inserted was scheduled the following day. Her mother took it to another pharmacy to get the prescription filled. In addition to the significant inconvenience of having to travel to an alternate pharmacy and rush out traffic to obtain the time-sensitive prescribed medication, MS and her mother and her daughter experienced emotional impact discrimination. You know, another question I would have for this too, what happens in these small towns where you do have one pharmacy?
In the whole fucking town.
You know, like, she's lucky this happened in a place where you had more than one place to go. Mm-hmm. MS felt judged, disrespected, and embarrassed by the incident. Her daughter felt extremely uncomfortable at the prospect of having to seek a pharmacist's personal approval to access her chosen prescription, prescribed contraceptive care.
Yeah, because she was like, I'm trying to take care of this, but yeah, because I'm telling you right now, he hit the wrong one. They would have fucking raised hell in that hole. Because I probably would have flipped.
That's why they're behind that little fence area.
I would have fucking snapped. I don't give a fuck about you or your guy. Fill out my fucking medication.
The mother returned to the original Walgreens and asked to speak to a manager. This is when the pharmacist said he had a pretty good idea to intend to use for misoprostol, according to the organization. Now the ACLU has filed a complaint along with the Southwest Women Law Center It is arguing that the pharmacist's refusal to provide the treatment constitutes gender discrimination. Had a man shown up with a prescription for the same medication to treat stomach ulcers, he would have no doubt received the medication immediately. Oh, so that, yep, that makes sense. That's why it's back there, because he would have gave it to a man. But because the client was a woman, the Walgreens employee automatically assumed the medication was for reproductive health purposes, and he personally opposed forcing her to travel to a different pharmacy. That's not right. Women deserve the same level of care and respect as men at Walgreens pharmacy. Yeah. I can't, and it's sad because, not to make too dramatic, but November 2016 really emboldens this type of shit too. This environment, this is only going to get worse because a lot of people are starting to treat the right to discriminate based on their religion as religious freedom. And right. This administration is emboldening that. And
they're telling them it's all right.
Right. They're saying, yes, that is the same thing as you being able to say no to somebody because you're a Christian is the same thing. If we get mad at you, that's the same thing as being mad somebody's black. It's the same thing as being mad someone's gay. Actually, it's worse than being mad someone's gay. That's what they're saying, because you're mad that, yeah. Kill them all. Congressman post unhinged rant about Muslims at the London attacks. Republican congressman from Louisiana called for Muslims to be hunted down and killed in the wake of London terrorist attack. The free world, all of Christendom, is at war with Islamic horror. Not one penny of American treasure should be granted to any nation that harbors these heathen animals. In the post, which also included a photo of officers shooting down one of the suspects in the attack, he continued, every conceivable measure should be engaged in hunting them down. Hunt them, identify them, kill them, kill them all. He's a former police captain. He was elected to in the U.S. House of 2016. A member of his staff told the district sentinel the Facebook page belongs to his campaign, but stopped short of confirming whether he posted the screed or even though the post is signed by Captain Clay Higgins. So he did. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Even if he didn't, he still posted it.
Yeah.
I don't care. They writing on your behalf. So, yes, this is all you.
Ain't no even if he didn't. He did.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago, the same page posted an Election Day video message from Higgins, which featured him wearing a sleeveless SWAT team vest, firing an assault rifle in front of a barn while telling viewers to vote Republican and send a strong message to socialists. Well, tell the world that we're American, he said in the video. We'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. These fucking jackasses, man. They're just such fucking weirdos, man.
They are.
That's a message you want to put on your campaign thing? I got a gun shooting at a fucking barn. Mm-hmm. Look, guys. Meanwhile, this nigga probably lives in a regular ass house in a fucking gated community.
Wouldn't be caught dead nowhere near there.
Right. Put on a SWAT jacket without sleeves, talking about killing people and shit. And then, like I said, when a white dude goes off and kills some random people on a bus or some shit,
it's cricket.
Because they Muslim, because he want to kill some black people, just because he ain't gonna hear shit from people like this. They not that. You know, I saw some shit where they were trying to be like, if they would have had guns, then these terrorists and these knife attacks, they would have been killed right away. It's like, well, actually, the terrorists would have then had guns. So that's the reason it's only 7 people dead in 3 fucking knife attacks.
Because
it's harder
hundreds
to kill somebody with a knife, because apparently
you got to get up close on them.
They're light years ahead of us with this fucking gun policy shit. Idiot. You wish you were being fucked by me. New Jersey Republican launches obscene rant at local organizers. What's going on with these Republicans? What part of y'all platform is this?
This is what y'all by the pussy platform. I'm been fair to realize, when you brought up a good point a while ago, because I do feel like Trump activated a lot of shit here. He told people it's okay to be sexist, it's okay to be racist, it's okay to be Islamophobic, it's okay to be homophobic, it's okay to be transphobic, whatever your vice is.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, and you will not be punished. Like you let people know you will not be punished. We have a president in the office that had a rape trial going on, was getting ready to have a rape trial going on before the election. That shit disappeared. We have a president in office that's been accused of grabbing women by the pussy, that's been accused of just treating women like shit, and he got the highest office of our land. Like, people that speaks volumes across the country to the people who are already think it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that these motherfuckers have been inflamed,
right?
They're just such weirdos, dog. Like, before you even get to all the fucked up shit about them because they're in positions of power,
right,
they are also such huge fucking weirdos, man. They are weird as fuck, you know? Like, for all the shit people give about, you know, the left and Obama's and all that, and even Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and all these people, they're not like this. These people are fucking sycophants. Something is wrong with them.
It is mentally,
and they keep getting put in positions of power because something's wrong with our country, right? And people think there's nothing, that they're like, this is good. I like how he cussed that fucking journalist out, fuck the media, like that kind of shit, where it's like, what's wrong with our country that you would see this guy and think he should? A dude body slammed a journalist and still won. You know, something's wrong with our country. You know, it's why I'm not, you know, no offense, but we ain't getting no socialism, dog. We not mm-hmm. getting it. Mm-mm. We don't deserve it. And we're not smart enough to do anything that would shake up the status quo that much.
Come on.
It's not happening. Like, your blog can talk about it. You might feel better about it. It might make you feel more smug to be mean to people online that don't share your vision. I just say it ain't going to happen because our country we're too broken. Our country too fucked up. These people, it wouldn't be so bad if this guy does this, loses office, we all agree this is terrible, it's going to be on the line.
Right.
The problem is, there's half of our country that goes, this is not be on the line. There's nothing wrong with this.
Right.
Matter of fact, it's good. You know, it's why I don't get too excited about this radical political change. I'm mm-hmm. like, it's not going to happen.
No, because the thing is, truth be told, when you, and the way this, even the foundation of this country was, it was violent. So if, do the course of history with this country, anything that actually had any movement, I'm talking about like a real change, violence came with that. And that's something that people don't want to talk about. People literally had to fight and die to push things forward. Civil rights, people died. Slavery, people died. People died. And, you know, it's sad, but that's the reality of it. And most people aren't willing to give their life up for their beliefs. They're just not willing to go that far. And I can understand that. But, like, if you really want this change, you've got to be willing to put your life on the line. And that's something the average person isn't going to do. So in the long run, that's why you keep getting status quo, because people aren't willing to really do what it takes to get the change that's required.
I think even if you put your life on the line, I think a lot of people have completely underestimated how many people legitimately just like are against all the shit that you think would improve this country. They believe the opposite. Like, you can't even drag them kicking and screaming.
Mm-mm.
They literally do believe the opposite. You know, think about the fact that there is a movement, basically. There's a huge constituency in America that thinks the idea of calling somebody a social justice warrior is bad. You know? All these comic book movies make all this money every year. What are those heroes if not social justice warriors? If they're not fighting for the right thing, if they're not, we all know, you know, the Jedi are the good guys. We all know that. It's not like the movies ever get confused and we walk out and go, damn, I think the Jedi's are bad. Like, no, we always think Captain America is good. We always think, you know, these are the good guys, those are the bad guys. So simple. People walk out that theater though, and they are the bad guys, and they just don't think of themselves that way.
Right.
And it's kind of scary because there's so many people that sit around and be like, you social justice warrior, so you want social justice and you're willing to fight for it, and that makes you a bad person. Mm-hmm. The politically correct just means people trying to consider other people's point of view and not be an asshole to them,
right?
That's bad. Everything is like, and there's enough people to elect Trump. There's enough, like, even if Hillary Clinton won by 3 million votes, popular vote, let's say she became president, there's still 50 something million people that voted that was like, fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm.
We're not who people think we are, and we're not able to become who you think we can become, because motherfuckers are actively fighting against it. It's not gonna happen that kind of way. So yeah, anyway, this guy gets elected to office. He's accused of harassment after yelling and berating Susan Enderley Paraccio, a Passaic County regular Republican organization employee. So she's a Republican employee. He says, "You wish you were being fucked by me," according to the video filmed by her daughter. "You don't have to worry about me penetrating you at all. You want it fair and square, and you should have been satisfied with that. But you stood there and you let them corrupt the system of political process." He said he will not apologize either. "I gave the same amount of respect to anyone. I deserve the same amount of respect back," he said. "I'll defend myself, defend the voters and residents of First Ward, and I have for the last 3.5 years. I will play the video. It's fucking 10 minutes long. I'm not even going to play it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, these motherfuckers are activated, dog. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Millennials are killing chains like Buffalo Wild Wings and Applebee's. Ain't that bad?
They tired of that average food.
Yeah, maybe those chains killed themselves by not getting those millennials. How come we always frame every article as millennials did something fucked up?
Yeah, y'all do know it's more than millennials out there. It's a whole, they got the XYZABC, the rest of us out here too.
No, I'm not even saying there's more. I'm saying, why wouldn't the article be, these chains are failing to attract the right diners to stay in business?
They are.
Why is it saying these diners are not doing their civic duty to eat at these shitty chains?
Right, they aren't, because a lot of these places, like, people not crazy. A lot of this shit, they just throw your shit in the microwave. Like, people are like, I want actually good quality food. And you know, a lot of their people kind of age out, you know, because it's you have a certain demographic of people that go, I love Applebee's. A lot of them,
and then they die at 40 because right. You can't eat Applebee's every day.
Right, come on. And then you have like that generation that grew up and it was like, I don't want this shitty ass food. I want something else.
Yeah, millennial consumers are more attracted than their elders to cooking at home, ordering delivery from restaurants, and eating quickly in fast casual or quick serving restaurants. While blaming millennials has become a trend to the point of cliche in retail, Smith isn't wrong to zero in on younger customers' change of taste as a major factor in casual dining's downfall. Now, there's many, many options that people are replacing chains with. Victor Fernandez, restaurant industry tracker, TDN2K's executive director of Insights, recently told Business Insider. Blue Apron is one where,
because more people cook at home,
people get stuff. I know we get HelloFresh right now.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually on the average, depending on where you go, especially for fucking Applebee's, you're gonna get better, higher qualitative food. You cook the shit yourself.
And then some of the restaurants are adapting to it, which is why I said I don't know why you can blame millennials. Cheesecake Factory announced earlier this year it's expanded delivery to half of its 194 U.S. locations through DoorDash, a third-party delivery service. Yeah, go where they are.
Yep, because everybody got an app now. Everything you can order from home, you can order it and have it delivered. And, you know, actually, Amazon is actually the king of, like, delivering shit straight to your door. So everybody else was like, hey, I want stuff. Because a lot of people are very busy in their everyday lives. And it's more convenient to actually, I want to eat good. I want to eat fresh. I don't have time. I can order a salad and have my salad here in less than 15 minutes.
Yep. TGI Fridays, Chili's, and Maggiano's are all now part of Grubhub. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Wild Wings and Red Robin are testing the service as well. Outback Steakhouse is using both third-party services and building its own delivery service.
I haven't tried Grubhub, but I've heard good things about them. A lot of my coworkers do it for lunch, where they do that and they just deliver it to the job.
Yeah, it means added complexities, obviously, to your, like, you gotta now pay drivers, mm-hmm. possible and additional insurance costs and shit like that. But I mean, you have to adapt to the industry change. You can't just be like these goddamn millennials, like, okay, now
yeah.
what?
Yeah, they ain't bringing asses in here, but you still got these bills, dog.
Another kind of infuriating thing that I want to talk about, and I'm more upset about this because I don't see enough people talking about it in the Democratic Party leadership positions. In 2017, changes to voting laws are again poised to play a major role in state legislative agendas. Mm-hmm. At this point in the year, every state's legislature is either in session or has completed its 2017 calendar. As has been the case all decade, legislators across the country are trying to reshape state voting laws in several places. This means it will soon be harder to vote. Five states have already enacted bills to cut back on voting access, and one more is on the verge of doing so. By comparison, three states enacted voting restrictions in 2015 and 2016 combined. Overall, however, more bills to expand access to voting were introduced this year than bills that would restrict voting access. Still, of the legislation making the most substantial impact on voting access, more legislation to limit participation in advancing towards passage. So all the we need to get more people voting, those bills aren't moving towards being passed. The bills that are like we need to keep people from voting, we need to restrict who can vote, those bills are moving towards passing. Moreover, governors in Nebraska and Nevada have vetoed the bills that would expand across access to the franchise. Overview of legislation restricting vote. This is from BrennettCenter.org. It's called Voting Laws Roundup 2017. Overall, at least 99 bills to restrict access to registration and voting have been introduced in 31 states. 35 such bills saw significant legislative action, meaning they have at least been approved at the committee level or below, beyond in 17 states. Several states will soon implement major voting restriction. Iowa's governor signed a broad-based law that will require voter ID, restrict voter registration efforts, impose new burdens on election day registration and early and absentee voting. Although not as restrictive as North Carolina's law passed in 2013 that was blocked by a federal court, a law that was deemed racist, by the way, y'all.
Right.
Specific language targeting black people. I don't even know what fuck would have happened if they would have just been a little smarter and not put black people in the fucking email. Like, they wouldn't have made it completely like, this will stop black people from voting. The law probably would still be in place. They just were too stupid to leave it out. Iowa's law similarly restricts voting in a number of different ways. Arkansas passed two bills to bring back voter ID to the state after a court struck down an earlier law. North Dakota also enacted legislation to reimpose an identification requirement as a court blocked the strict ID law in 2016. Indiana enacted a law that will implement a purge of registered voters from the rolls. The program will remove voters in a manner similar to purges in other states that have been criticized for being error-prone and inadequately protective of eligible voters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep in mind, I know in North Carolina, it was just one dude basically going down the list
and
picking people. And, you know, we're just supposed to believe he has no biases. Right? Like, he just doing this out the goodness of his heart. You know, wanted to be accurate.
Getting kicked off the road.
Right. Meanwhile, everybody get kicked off is named Jackson, Jefferson. Mm-hmm. a lot of Washingtons getting kicked off. I don't know. Just, you know, just coincidence. North Dakota, Montana's House and Senate passed a bill that will prevent civic groups and individuals from helping others vote absentee by collecting and delivering their voted ballots. The bill now goes to voters as a November 2018 ballot measure. Georgia's legislature sent a bill that will make voter registration more difficult to the governor, and he signed it on May 9th. Voter ID bills are still the most common form of voter restriction moving in state legislatures. Since 2010, 10 states have passed more burdensome voter ID requirements. As in previous years, voter ID is the most common type of legislation restrict voting access this year. Over 39 bills impose harsher voting requirements. Voter ID requirements were introduced in 22 states. As noted above, three states have already enacted those laws. Yeah, not to mention the second thing they're doing, restricting your voter registration, trying to make it so you have to register earlier. Mm-hmm. Trying to make it so if you do go through the same day registration, you got to bring more information to the polls. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, a huge hurdle for this in a society where we blame people for not voting, a big part of this is the psychological warfare of you showing up and not knowing.
Right.
That's what they want. They want you to show up and think it's going to be difficult and scare your ass out of going to the poll. Now, listen, I agree with you guys. We got to be tough mentally. You got to go up there and you got to just fucking not give up. Blah. I get it. I see what you're saying. I'm not averse to the fact that you got to toughen up and all this shit. The problem with that is voting in this country is very much a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And that, by that, I mean, especially when we're talking about voter restrictions, like voter ID restrictions, all the shit, having an ID,
right?
Being able to afford an ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, working. The third thing that these states are doing, they restrict the voting hours.
Right.
This is a huge burden to black and brown folks. One, many of us don't have jobs with consistent 40 hours a week, Monday through Friday, anyway, where we can reliably ask for time off and afford it. If you work 32 hours a week at McDonald's and you have a second job, more than likely, but you say, I would like some time off to go vote, that money just comes out of, you don't have vacation time, you just don't make that money that week. I can't afford it. I literally can't afford to go stand in line for 4 hours and vote, or take 4 hours off of my job and vote, catch the bus across town, go vote. I can't afford that.
And it's not a national holiday like it is in a lot of other countries. A lot of other countries is a national holiday.
Right. So that's a huge, like, it's a privilege. And other ways that it's a privilege too is, like I said, your voter ID, the Sunday voting. Like, they used to have Sunday voting here in North Carolina. It's one of the first things that they fought against. Okay. Why? Because black churches would take the people, register their constituents that in their church, and then bring them all up there on a bus, and they all vote together at the church on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tradition in our country, in the South at least, with a lot of black churches and black people. Those people typically vote Democrat. So what do? They stop Sunday voting in North Carolina. Another thing black and brown people do, they early vote. So mm-hmm. Look, I want to vote. I understand it's going to be difficult. I can't go voting on that Tuesday. But what I can do is, if I have a month in advance to know, I'll find the time when I do have that day off work, I will go up there and I will place my vote. Well, now we're just going to cut it down to, like, instead of a month before, you can only vote, you can only do it for 2 weeks. Instead of 2 weeks, let's do it 1 week. No Sundays, by the way. And also, let's change the polling hours. It used to be like, oh, 7 a.m. to, I don't know, 7 p.m. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then they changed it now to where it's like, okay, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. or some shit. Just enough to keep enough people out. And like I said, in our state, we know for a fact it was targeting black people because they weren't even fucking smart enough to disguise it. These other states, y'all think it ain't the same thing? Now, the reason I said this is infuriating is because I don't see many Democrats talking about this.
At all. It's fucking crickets.
This is literally the reason they lost the election.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't lose the election because white people decided to be racist again. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose this election because Trump was such a transformative figure. They lost this election literally by 77,000 votes in three different states. You telling me the voter restrictions didn't affect 77,000 voters in three states? You don't think that? You think that even if those people just went, I'm not gonna go up there because it sounds confusing, I'm not gonna go up there because I heard I gotta have a voter ID and I gotta have this and I gotta have that, it's too much, I don't know, I don't want to drive all the way over there, nothing, I'm not voting because my polls are closed on Sunday and I can't, that's the only day I get off work, you know, I'm not voting because I can't be, I can only do it before work. I gotta be there at 7 and back at end of work at 8. And the polls aren't open till 9 with early voting. I can't do it because that Tuesday when it's time to vote, it might take longer to vote, and I can't be off work for 4 hours before coming into Wendy's. I can't do it. You know, it's that kind of shit. And I don't see anyone in leadership positions in the DNC that really is stressing this, that really is fighting this, that really sees this as the number one issue. They see courting white voters, angry white voters from Trump, as the number one issue. They're humanizing them. They're going on speaking tours like Bernie Sanders is doing, like fucking Van Jones is doing. I know he's not a leader in the DNC, but still, like, that capitulation towards, you're not a bad person because you voted for Trump, as if those people are coming back. Sorry, Democrats, you can't out-racist Republicans and keep the black vote. It's impossible. No one wants to vote with those people. What you could do is look at this loss, this 77,000 votes, and go, what do we do to make sure that doesn't happen again? And what you need to be doing is fighting against voter suppression. It's the number one issue. Everybody I respect and trust within politics is talking about this.
Yes, they are.
Now, that's mostly because I respect and trust black women that haven't been in this party, and they recognize the issue right away. You know, it's sad to watch people find it's Russia, it's this, it's that, it's Hillary Clinton's fault, it's Bernie Sanders' fault. It's voter suppression, and Republicans are in formation on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
The fact I am reading you is an organized attack on the right to vote. What I'm reading is, this is not a coincidence that they are passing this many laws, that these states are looking to restrict more and more votes because they see what happened with the election, and they're like, we need to make sure we can duplicate that here. Mm-hmm. What do we need to do to be like these states that made sure that they didn't get enough people? Even if we're just causing confusion and it's all struck down in a court of law, yeah, after we won,
right,
we won. Possession is 9/10 of the law, and now we get to make the rules with gerrymandering and voter restriction and all this shit. So I can't believe that this isn't the number one topic at every fucking Democratic like discussion, like,
because they don't care. And it's disheartening, particularly to their voter base, which is black women. It's very, very disheartening because you do not care. And then you have black women that kind of in the party itself that's kind of talking about it, and they're out there doing the hard work and going door to door and trying to get people registered to vote, and they're out there grinding. And I'm not trying to be funny. Directly or indirectly, the Democratic Party is telling black women, fuck y'all. And they was like, oh, y'all was information for Hillary Clinton and y'all lost. You know, basically, I think the thing too that really upsets me about the voter suppression is that even a lot of black people, even a lot of black Democrats, don't understand what it has done and don't understand what has really happened from the passing of these laws. So you got them going, well, black people didn't vote. It's not that cut and dry. It's a little bit more complex than that, you know. And it's very, very frustrating to look and see the party that for most black people, but I'm talking about particularly black women, you have voted for majority all of your life, you know, since you've been able to vote for most black people, you know, for particular black women, you voted for this party. And for them to basically slap you in the face and go, your vote's not important, your voice is not important, you know, you don't put us in leadership positions, you don't put us in any position where being heard. You know, you don't, where are the town halls about voter suppressions all across this country? Where are the meetings with black women all across this country? Why aren't you meeting with civil rights activists? Why aren't you meeting with Black Lives Movement and Black Lives Matter activists? Why aren't you meeting with these groups to really see what's happening in the pulse of the community? It's because you don't care. And it's because I'm trying to tell you, in the next election, it's going to be a flip, and they're not going to give a fuck about anything black people have to say, because as far as they're concerned, y'all got y'all one black shot. That was Barack Obama. After Barack Obama, it's going to be fuck the black vote. We don't have to court it. We don't have to worry about it. We're going to get the vote regardless. And what's going to happen is that you're going to have a lot of people, they're not going to vote at all.
What do you mean, black people to talk about it all?
Yeah, because, you know, because we want to be courted too. Like, right. like we want you to tell us that you're concerned about black people getting shot in the street, and you're concerned about the violence in our community, and you're also concerned about police brutality. You're concerned about these things. You know, stand up and say Black Lives Matter. All that in the next election, not trying funny, you're not gonna hear about none of that shit. Next election, nothing black is even gonna be a fucking question. I'm telling y'all, mark my word.
Yeah, because that's what I was saying about the whole Trump thing. All this, we about to have this radical left agenda, and everybody's gonna get information and fight against it. Them women's marches died down, dog. The airport's not blocked up no more. The protests, when you hear about the Muslim ban and shit, we've now got accustomed to the idea that there's a ban coming on several countries that makes no fucking sense. It's already a wrap for that shit. And yeah, we're not gonna hear Black Lives Matter next. Like, people thought, oh, Obama and Hillary, they not militant enough. The next politician that runs will be a lot less so, because they won't need to be. Now, what is interesting to me is I don't think it'll be about black folks just not wanting to vote. And I think that's a dangerous thing to say, because they're suppressing our vote.
Yes.
So I don't want to just say, well, we just won't vote. We won't want to vote. I don't even want to say that. I'm saying we won't be able to vote.
True.
So how can you even separate the two? Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
They keep saying that we just didn't want to vote in 2016 already. They're already saying that. It's not the truth. A lot of people wanted to vote, but were not allowed to do so.
True.
Or were so fucking scared that I'm just going to go up there and waste my time. Or it was so inconvenient.
Right.
That it was literally like financially impossible. And yet somehow we got left holding the bag. I still see pieces every day written about black people they came out for Obama, but not Hillary. They came out, but we weren't suppressed. Our votes are literally being suppressed. And y'all talking about we don't want to vote. That's not the truth. We won't know whether white people want to vote or not until you take this shit off of the motherfucking books.
Correct.
So I can't even say that with any assurity that, like, well, they not courting us. I think black people will. The reason I think black people would go vote if we don't have voter restriction isn't because I think Democrats are so fucking great. We've never thought they were great.
Mm-mm.
It'll be because living under these fucking Republicans is a death sentence.
Yes, it is.
That's why we go vote. It's always been why we vote. We got a little too comfortable and a little too happy with certain shit. Like, and by we, I'm not even just talking about black people. I just mean people on the left got a little too comfortable, a little too happy with the competence of Obama, and they start demanding shit that they
taking it for granted.
You know, they just knew they like shit that they just thought, oh, this is a given. And now those people are quiet as fuck because it wasn't a given. We're back to zero with a lot of this shit. But the point being, in 4 to 8 years, those people should know better. But will they be able to vote? You know, will, and for those people that just know better and they're white and shit, their numbers aren't going to be enough. Black people have to, Republicans figured out what Democrats haven't, which is that black people, specifically black women, are the base of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
They're not represented enough in the leadership positions.
Mm-mm.
And more importantly, you clearly don't give a fuck if you're not trying to stop voter suppression. You don't give a fuck. You know, it shouldn't be up to the ACLU to do this by themselves. We shouldn't be giving money to Bernie Sanders, who made $1 million last year, by the way. That's just saying.
Yeah.
That 1%, dog. That 1%, dog.
Yeah, like I said.
$1 million? Can I get some consistency? Can I get the Obamas make too much money with these speeches? Can I get y'all to show up? Where y'all at? $1 million, dog?
Yeah, and like I said, Bernie Sanders is a whole nother thing, because, and see, that's what pisses, I guess, particularly me off. It's like, this nigga ain't in a goddamn Democrat, and every time something comes up, you the fucking microphone in his face and ask him about the goddamn Democratic Party, because the voices ain't us. The voices don't look like me. The voices are men and male, a lot of times white. And then when you do bring some brothers on there, a lot of times they ain't saying nothing no different than the white people are saying. So it's like, well, hey, dog, what about us? We matter too.
Mm-hmm.
That matters when you look on TV and you looking at nationally who they throwing microphones in their faces, particularly Bernie Sanders. Like I said, he just he just makes me so sick, because I'm like, nigga, you went to that eye right as quick, and you gonna stay that eye.
Yeah, all I know is that nigga made $1 million. Y'all mad at the Obamas for making some money. I need y'all to stay consistent.
Right.
I'm gonna need y'all to stay consistent, dog. that 1% of shit, I want to hear how he can't represent you no more because he made too much money, because y'all damn sure pulled that with everybody else. I wants to hear it, but you know what, crickets. I won't hear it. He got $795,000 advance for his book detailing his presidential campaign, Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. Mm-hmm. A second version of the book and a 1997 memoir brought his income from books to $865,000. He earned $174,000 as a public servant. He also made $7,000 from his pension for his time as a mayor, royalties from a 1987 folk album. Interesting. But you know, he got that million. I'm sure the capes will come out for him. I'm not even saying, for the record, I don't have a problem with him making $1 million. I don't.
Me either.
I just want motherfuckers to be consistent when this dude's talking about how much money everybody else making in their pockets and shitting on them, and all his defenders are always constantly shitting on everybody else for having money and saying that basically having money makes them bad and evil. Why is he the good one then? Cause he know how to sell the tune a little different. Interesting. Anyway, I'm not gonna dwell on that. Move on to some other things. Told y'all it's gonna be one of them shows, didn't I?
Oh yeah, the whole show is 100.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we might as well go to should we do fucking with Black?
Since we started, it's been fucking with us. Nope, not doing that segment today.
Okay, well, we won't do fucking with Black people, guys.
Everybody got 100.
Everybody gets 100. Let me move to the next session right now so that we don't have to get cut off later. Give me one segment, guys. I'll be right back.
No problem. Talking about fucking with Black people. I'm already on 100. No, thank you.
I hear you, buddy.
That's all right. Keep on walking. Mary said it. Mary said it. Mary said it. You gotta walk. You gotta walk.
You gotta walk, Karen. Sometimes you just gotta walk.
Sometimes you just gotta walk.
All right, I'm calling everybody to the session.
But we just want to keep y'all informed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do.
All right, going live, and I'm adding you back.
Nigga, that's the thing about real life. Real life will make you mad.
Yeah, I mean, it was some pretty bad fucking with Black people today too. There were some good ones, quote unquote, you know, good in a bad way.
We'll have to get to him tomorrow.
Okay, that's no problem. We can always move over to white people news, which, you know, I know people have been loving as of late. A lot of people's favorite segment. They'll tell you. Oh wait, it doesn't want me to share my screen. Give me a second, I gotta install. See, people in the chat room already begging for it, please. You know what? I will do that for you, Fine Wine. That's not a problem. Sorry, I had to refresh my screen. Acoustic covers is just an extension of fucking with Black people anyway, says HC. See? That's his favorite segment, and now we got to extend HC's favorite segment. And you know what? I'm sure he's happy about that. You're welcome, buddy. I got you. A lot of you guys, you know, I get hit up all the time on Twitter that people are like, Rod, I can't believe you did it again. I'm like, you welcome, you know? You know? Oh, Rod, I can't believe you would do this. And you know what? I will continue to do this for y'all.
You know, and they ask you too, how do you find so many white people playing the acoustic guitars? I don't know how you do it, y'all.
Yeah, they be so excited. Oh, no, not again. I'll be like, yes, y'all welcome again. So let's get this week's selection going. Is it showing my screen?
It is.
Okay, cool. We'll let this load if we don't get an ad first.
And no, I'm not paying for your red service.
I'm just a bastard, looking for a partner.
I wasn't expecting the breakdown of the beat of the beating.
Kind of struggle with the high notes at the end, but I appreciate them.
I know one thing: you gonna have our audience out here burning the acoustic guitars, ukuleles, and what you call them, kazoos.
Good, y'all should be mad. Okay, these motherfuckers made $1 million last year and still got the run as the poor candidate. I'm saying, y'all let that happen, not me. A lot of y'all black people wasn't mad about Bill Clinton being the first black president.
Oh, Lord.
But you mad at these covers. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my vote is against acoustic guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Stop that foolishness. I didn't know it was so many damn videos.
Mm-hmm.
Probably endless supply of whiteness.
Endless.
Gotta be.
All right, white people news. Exclusive. Judge denies Jim Carrey's motion to remove claims that he transmitted STDs in a wrongful death battle with his late girlfriend's mom, saying the actor's privacy concerns are not a top priority.
Oh.
Now, if y'all guys remember, his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, I believe, according to him, she committed suicide. She died by suicide in 2015. Her brother has been basically suing Jim Carrey and accusing him of wrongful death, despite, you know, actually it's not even brother, estranged husband. That's right. So it's not even her brother. It's her estranged husband. And they're suing him, saying that it was his fault kind of she died. They claim the actor provided drugs to her daughter and shamed her when she confronted him about her STDs. White's estranged husband, Mark Burton, also filed a wrongful death suit against the actor and also claimed Carey provided drugs to White. Carey denies he gave White the drugs and claims Burton and Sweetman were not close to White and are trying to capitalize on the tragedy. Yeah, this seems horrible. All of it. like one directly blaming somebody for someone else's suicide, I don't know how you're gonna win that in a court of law.
Right.
Two, whether he gave her STDs or not, that also seems like how, what, like she's dead now, what would this gain?
Right.
You know, and then the fact that it's basically a civil suit, so y'all are looking for money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems so fucked up. And then the fact that it's her estranged husband trying to get the money.
Right. It's like, nigga, what you got to do with this?
Mm-hmm. It said, she accused Carrie of giving her multiple STDs during the relationship, and when she confronted him, he called her a whore. They dated on and off for 3 years. Under California law, willfully exposing someone to an STD can constitute a cause of legal action for intentional infliction of emotional distress, a factor which can be relevant in determining the cause of suicide. Burton claimed in an earlier complaint his estranged wife was tested for STDs prior to relationship with Carrie. Text messages alleged she took a test 1 week after she began sleeping with the actor and learned she contracted herpes 1 and herpes 2 and gonorrhea. In papers filed May 31st, the judge made a decision on several important issues in the case, including the STD accusations. So does this mean that Jim Carrey got to get tested if he got this shit? Like, is that enough to win or lose the case? I don't know what the rules are.
Right, and then you basically dragging all her sexual history up. The woman is dead.
Sweetman and Burton both sued, demanding general damages, funeral and burial expenses, and punitive damages. The judge set the trial date April 26, 2018. Sweetman also alleges Carrie provided her daughter with medication, which would violate the Drug Dealer Liability Act. Carrie has repeatedly denied providing White with drugs, claiming she stole the fatal dose of Ambien, Percocet, and propanol from him. Carrie filed a motion to strike the majority of the factual allegations in the complaints. He alleged transmission of STDs to White had no relevance in the case, contained the private medical information, and statements were simply scandalous and abusive. Carrie also wanted the allegations concerning him backing out of paying for the funeral expenses removed from the complaint. The judge reviewed the evidence and testimony and sided with the plaintiffs. She states the allegations concerning his offer to pay for the funeral expenses are relevant and may provide contextual information to the nature of the relationship Carrie had with White before her suicide. In regards to the STD allegations, the order states that they are wholly relevant and inextricably a key factual basis for causes of action in the lawsuit, and denied Carrie's motion to strike them. She knows Carrie is a celebrity and there are privacy concerns. However, those privacy concerns do not override the right of the plaintiffs to include those allegations in the complaint. She adds that given the nature of the allegations, the court is hard pressed to see how this matter could be tried otherwise.
It sounds like somebody just wanted to go forward with the case.
Yeah, I mean, the judge is probably, I mean, it's basically just saying you can bring these up in the case, but it's still, I don't know. That just seems real. The whole thing seems fucked up.
Right. And the biggest thing is that she's not alive.
Mm-hmm. Still going strong. Zayn Malik leaves Gigi Hadid's apartment as she's seen heading to dinner. That's right, y'all. They still together. They may have been apart, but they're much together. On Monday morning, Zayn Malik was photographed leaving girlfriend Gigi Hadid's apartment.
He a boy band singer, right?
One Direction, the 24-year-old former One Direction singer, was his usual fashionable self, sporting an orange skull cap and a large green jacket and a navy v-neck t-shirt with ripped pink splattered jeans and black boots. You know he bought them pink splattered jeans, right?
Of course.
It's funny, man. Fashion is so weird because, like, motherfuckers will pay all that money for some pink splattered jeans, but then, like, it's people that literally go to work and they jeans got paint on them because they work so hard with painting and shit. And we look down on them and say, get out of our country. Like, that's so weird.
Right.
Rich people just like adopting the fashions of the people that's not, not that it's his fault or nothing. It's just interesting how society works that way. We're like,
yeah, same thing with torn jeans and ripped jeans.
Yeah. It's like classism as a fashion choice is, you know, considered to be in sometimes, but being actually poor in this country is considered to be, you know, super whack. Like, get this poor person away from me. But I do like his jeans.
Is that gonna be in the 2019 fall lineup?
The night before, his girlfriend of nearly 2 years was seen solo while heading to dinner at Tao in New York City. The 22-year-old model was dressed down for the outing, choosing a blue and white pinstripe button front top and ripped white jeans. Another ripped jeans. Comfy flats adorned her feet as she made her way through the city wearing blue Andy Wolf sunglasses, even though it appeared to be nighttime. You know, never too late to be cool. Her mother, Yolanda Hadid, was also seen leaving her daughter's pad on Monday morning. The matriarch, whose other daughter, Bella, is a highly successful model, wore a blue puffer jacket with turtleneck and blue jeans. She wore a pair of tall black boots with a small heel while making her way to her happy place. Is she feeding a fucking, what is this, the ox? She feeding Babe the blue ox up in his feet? What does that picture have anything to do with anything?
I don't know. That's a big ass animal.
Oh yeah. Later that day, she posted herself feeding the three bulls on her farm. The large horned animals flanked the former model, a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, as she delivered their feed. Oh, her mama is a Real Housewives? Okay. She catching the video early morning feeding, hashtag farm life, hashtag happy place, hashtag East Coast beauty.
But they just follow her ass around?
Damn, that's a big ass bull, dog.
Oh, that thing huge.
Ooh, shit, dog.
No, thank you. If it decided it wanted to go bull, you in trouble, dog.
Zayn's been spotted at the recording studio within the past few weeks, working on a follow-up to successful solo debut, Mind of Mine. Gigi is currently one of fashion's most in-demand models and is frequently shooting ad campaigns or walking on the runway in New York and other fashion capitals. They started dating late in 2015 after she broke up with Joe Jonas. Oh, she just be pulling them. Okay. She just peak white woman at the peak of her game. Let's see. Beauty in Royal Royal Blue. Downton Abbey's Joan Froggatt reveals a hint of cleavage in strappy floral frock as she attends charity polo event with Prince Henry.
Oh shit! Now,
not that hint of cleavage though.
The hint.
That's the ladies. That's the ladies' thirst trap.
I'm trying to tell you, did she show a hint of ankle too?
I mean, it's like a hint of, you're like, what's in this, nutmeg? It's a hint of nutmeg. She got a hint of
did
titties.
She flash?
Here's a hint of titties, y'all. The hint is, I have some titties.
Right.
She's the English actress known for her role as head housemaid Anna Smith in the beloved drama Downton Abbey. And Joan.
That's that British show, right?
Mm-hmm. And Joanne Froggatt, 36, was in Good Company as she attended a charity dinner at Centerball Royal Salute Polo Cup in Singapore with Prince Harry on Monday. The Golden Globe winner was a picture of elegance as she revealed a hint of cleavage in her strappy blue and black frock. Oh, there she is.
With that hand of cleavage.
She holding a blue bottle. What is that bottle? Her look was accessorized with a pair of elegant rings while she opted to leave her flaxen mane to hang loosely by her shoulders. Clutching a bottle of Royal Salute Polo Edition. Joan, is that a cologne? Joan beamed from her seat in an audience as Harry gave an address to the crowd. Are they dating or something? Harry, who had completed the 2-day equestrian event over the weekend, looked relaxed in gray suit and blue business shirt. Wait, is Harry the one dating Meghan Markle, or am I making that up?
I don't know.
Y'all tell me in the chat. I can't keep up with these niggas.
I don't know. It's two princes, one young, one old, one married.
Joanne has been making headlines with the announcement of her new starring role in the ITV drama Liars. Created and written by BAFTA-nominated producers and screenwriters Harry and Jack Williams, Liar tells the story of a night that changes the lives of Laura Newell, Joanne, and Andrew Ellis, played by Ioan Gruffudd? Okay, forever. Laura is smart and dedicated teacher, not long out of a relationship and unsure about getting back on the dating scene. Andrew is a renowned surgeon whose son is a pupil at Laura's school. Okay, they're just giving us the breakdown of what the show's gonna be about. All right, cool. Anyway, they went out and she showed some titties a little bit. Just a little bit, guys. Full House actress Jodie Sweetin hires 24/7 security after her recovering drug addict ex-fiance jailed for making threats and illegal gun possession gets early release from prison.
I don't blame you.
All right. Tyrese says you gotta pick better men. Just kidding, he never advises white women. Actress Jodie Sweetin has hired a round-the-clock security detail after discovering her ex-fiance has been released early from prison. Sweetin, 35, fears her ex Justin Hodak, spotted in Los Angeles on Saturday, might try to approach her now that he's a free man after serving 3 months for making threats and illegal gun possession. Hodak, 40, was slapped with a 6-year, 8-month suspended sentence for the gun rap and falsifying evidence by threatening a witness with force or implied force. He was originally busted violating a restraining order, keeping him away from the Fuller House star ex. On May 5th, the judge in the case ordered him to serve 120 days in L.A. County Jail, complete a 52-week domestic violence course, and stay away from Sweetin for 5 years, part of a plea deal. But Hodak, who has been credited with time already served in jail, was released earlier than expected on May 22nd. Seen here in our exclusive photos, Hodak was seen running errands in Studio City and appeared much slimmer after living for months under a tough prison regime. It's believed the writer and producer is unemployed and staying in East LA while he gets his life back on track. Kodak, who was barred from going anywhere near Sweetin's home in Sherman Oaks, California, has been forced to wear an electronic tag which monitors his every move. A source close to the star said Jodie found out that Justin was out, and as you can imagine, she's terrified. She's scared that he might act out and do something crazy to harm her. It's understood Warner Brothers, the studio which produces hit show Fuller House, is paying for 24-hour, 7-days-a-week private security detail for Sweetin. The armed guards watch her home around the clock and follow her every move. She's got a huge security guard with her at all times, so she feels a lot safer as a result. But a friend of Hodak insisted Sweetin has nothing to fear.
Shit, I don't know that.
Right, a friend of his, by the way, right? Justin's been doing a lot of soul searching in jail. He has a few months in the cell to think about the mistakes he's made. He doesn't intend on messing up again and doing something stupid. He just wants to get on with his life, and to do that, he knows he has to stay away from Jodie. There's no reason for her to be concerned. Justin isn't a bad guy. He never harmed or threatened her to harm her during their relationship. And what did he go to jail for?
And my thing is, you don't know this.
What's more, the friend said Hodak was fitted with an electronic ankle bracelet, meaning he is every move is monitored by police and his movements are logged using GPS. Sweetin split
that
from Hodak.
Nothing.
Right. Sweetin split from Hodak in March following a massive argument during which he knocked over a 7-foot shelving unit in a fit of rage. He was then arrested 3 times within a 9-day period. He was busted in March 18 when Sweetin called police because he allegedly threatened to commit suicide. During the police investigation, Hodak was found to be in possession of a firearm, which he wasn't allowed to have due to a prior felony. Oh, so she was dating a damn thug. The recovering drug addict was arrested in March 24 for allegedly violating an emergency protective order stemming from the first arrest, and then arrested 3 days later for allegedly violating a restraining order that Sweetin took out against him. Less than 2 weeks prior to the arrest in March 11, he accompanied Sweetin and her 2 daughters on the red carpet at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. The Dancing with the Stars alum announced her engagement to Hodak with a picture of a huge proposal ring on Instagram. Her engagement? Did they mean his? Daily Mail, y'all need some editors. So it looks like the cat's out of the bag. Ha ha, I'm so happy. He did a great job with the ring. Good taste at Justin Hodak. I love you, she wrote. Damn. Then 2 weeks later, she was like, this nigga crazy. Come get him, police. They're both recovering drug addicts, and the couple dated for 2 years before announcing the news. The former child star married her first husband, L.A. police officer Sean Holguin, in 2002, but they divorced in 2006. She has a daughter, Zoe Kaur, with ex-husband Cody Herpin, who she divorced in 2010 after nearly 3 years of marriage. Sweetin also shares a daughter with Beatrix with ex Morty Cole, who she filed for separation in June 2013. It's amazing how, like, no offense, but as a white woman, she can basically have had 3 or 4 failed marriages, family with 2 and 3 different fathers, recovering drug addict, dating this felon dude, and we're still seeing her as just like, she's an actress trying to make it. If this was like a black woman, like, even people look down on Ciara. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people talk shit about her and drag her name.
Yeah.
Through everything.
All right, and the same thing with her, and I would even throw in there Kim Kardashian, because right. It's one of the things, like, once people find out you're sexually active or you got more than one partner and it's public, people lose their fucking minds. I don't care who you fuck.
Well, that's also because Kim K and them be cuckolding America fucking them niggas, though. That's different.
That's true.
That's different. like they be trying to select Shane Kim, but it's really about the black dick, guys. And I ain't saying I don't know enough about I don't watch that show, and I don't know enough about them or give a fuck to know how fucked up they probably are, but I'm just saying the obsession with the Kardashians is about the fact that it's some non-black women that only fuck niggas, and America is just fat. Look up any porn site and it's a whole goddamn section about that. That's
more racist American you ever will need.
Racist and American obsession, and they capitalizing off of it because y'all just can't look away.
Right, you want to ban them and kick them out, but you want to fuck them at the same time.
Right, you know, because to get them kind of ratings, white people got to be watching.
Yes, sir.
I mean, white people want to watch a bunch of white, rich white women that they think don't need to be fucking with niggas. Fuck niggas. That's all that. Once you realize that, it's like, what the fuck is the point of watching that shit? Anyway, would you ditch your best friend's wedding for a gig? Bride is devastated after her lifelong pal chooses an Adele costume over her big day, even though it's been in her diary for 3 years. The dress, the flowers, and food are all nice trimmings, but what really matters at a wedding is having your closest loved ones around you. But one bride-to-be has been left devastated after her best friend of 30 years announced she was shutting her wedding in favor of going to see Adele in concert. The devastated woman took to Mumsnet to explain her predicament, revealing she was upset because she set the wedding date 3 years earlier when she got engaged. To add insult to injury, the friend has been given the concert tickets for free long after the wedding date was announced and had not offered to look into swapping them for an alternative date. She said she was reluctant to bring it up with her as they're very close friends and she wants to respect her choice, but other users were outraged on her behalf. So I guess it's on Reddit or something. Yeah, users rushed to assure her that she had every right to be upset, but many questioned if there was more to the issue than meets the eye. Some asked if perhaps she had miscalculated the strength of their friendship, but the bride explained that they're as close as sisters. Another wanted to know if she might have a problem with the woman's partner and didn't approve of the match. However, some people were firmly on the side of friends, saying they would rather see their favorite artist than attend yet another nuptials. Yeah, I won't lie. I fucking hate weddings.
Yeah, I'd have been like, I ain't gonna lie.
Like, I went to my brother's wedding because that's my brother.
Right, because that's your brother. And we end up going to Derek and their wedding because Derek pleaded.
I am not. It don't mean we not friends. Right. Any of that. Like, I know
we'll
other
be
people.
More than happy to go to your registry.
I know other people really put a lot of stock in
that
shit.
Don't float my boat.
But I find that shit to be completely weird.
I am good. And I'm trying to tell you right now, I don't care if you had that shit 10 years in advance. I get some free tickets to Beyonce. You on your own.
Yeah, and Adele is pretty much white women's Beyonce.
Come on.
I mean, come on. Just like Bernie is white man's Beyonce. No, they got the burn hive, the burn unit. I don't know what they
come
call
on.
Them. What else? You know what? Let's play a little Guess the Race, guys. All right, let me stop sharing my screen. We'll play some Guess the Race. We started late tonight, so it's already 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcasts. And we read the news, play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today to guess the race. And it's Karen in the chat room. And they are highly racist,
yes,
is what I would call them. Very proud racist. How to kill a career. A TV reporter is fired after she was caught on video calling the cop a fucking piece of shit in a vicious tirade when she was kicked out of a comedy club.
Oh shit.
A television reporter has been fired after she was caught in a video unleashing a vicious expletive-laden tirade against a Philadelphia police officer. Colleen Campbell, 28, was filmed calling the cop a fucking piece of shit trying to spit on another man after she was kicked out of Philadelphia's Helium Comedy Club on Sunday night. Campbell, who bragged in the video that she works at a fucking news station, was fired from her job at PHL 17 soon after the footage emerged. Yeah, not anymore. I work at a fucking police station. No, you don't.
You guys are tape. You're suckers. I'll take my $70 and I'll swallow that you guys are suckers. Okay? I did not do I stood there and laughed in the rest of the audience like I should. Okay? I did not disrupt anybody. That guy out there, which I didn't see these two guys till the end of the show, was mad because I said his necklace looked like some anal.
The 28-year-old who worked mostly in news production was occasionally went on air as a reporter. She was asked to leave the club after multiple warnings for disrupting the show featuring comedian Craig Robinson. With her loud whispering, she allegedly then got
into... Loud whispering?
You know that drunk whisper?
Yeah.
He's... I need to piss. You're like, oh, you're not whispering. Yeah. You're drunk.
It's like, shh. You think you're whispering, but no, you're actually talking normal volume.
She then got into a fight with the bar staff on the way out.
Duh! Which you just played.
The video of her outside the club, this is outside the club, which has gone viral, was shared on Facebook. You guys are fucking dictators, you're fucking cocksuckers, she was filmed telling the police outside. I did not do shit. I stood there and laughed like the rest of the audience, like I should. I did not disrupt anyone. The officer, who remained incredibly calm, told Campbell and another man that she was with to walk away. And that's when she started talking about nobody likes the police and spit and shit. So she's now deleted all her social media accounts, but wrote on Facebook after the video emerged that she had only had one drink and flagged the possibility that she might have been drugged. She later told Philly Mad she had two drinks at the club and several others earlier in the night. So she was lying.
Of course. The way she was responding, honey, you had several of them Moscow mules.
I feel awful. That's not me or how I speak or how I talk or how I was raised. I had to delete all my social media because I'm getting threats. Everything was foggy. I do remember coming into Helium. I do remember getting into altercation there, but I don't remember what it was about. I don't know what to think. I know my limits, but I'm a bartender. I didn't feel wasted walking in. I want to apologize to the officer. I don't remember the whole altercation at all. I remember feeling attacked. I would never talk like that. It was like watching a whole different me. Okay. Karen gets the race.
White.
Karen is going with white. Shocker. What are you guys going
Showed
with in
the
chat
ass room? And then pop upside the head and shoot on the spot. White.
White privilege failed her this time, baby. Fired and not fired upon in the hell of bullets. White Reese Witherspoon, do you know who I am, white? Her ex-job can report on her economic anxiety.
Aww.
Filmed calling a cop a piece of shit and not catching some bullets, peak whiteness. She's alive, white. Murphy Brown, white. Sounds entitled, so white. Phoebe from Friends, white. Drunk white woman are the worst. The correct answer is, of course, white. And nobody guessed anything else because, I mean, come on. White women at a comedy club are a menace. That picture come up yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, she did that shit.
Yep. She was lit, man. She was talking that shit, spitting on people and shit.
Drunk about them faux coronas.
Mm-hmm. That's her that night. Yes, the officer was black, right?
coincidence.
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. At war with 7-Eleven, star a 6-12. That's right. This man named Abu Musa opened a convenience store on East Broadway. He called the store 6-12. Yes, those are the store's hours, but that's not the only reason he named it 6-12.
Oh, from 6 a.m. to 12 a.m?
Right. Now, keep in mind, 7-Eleven is named that because they're open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's the original reason they were named that. His store is open up 2 more hours, 6 to 12.
6 to 12.
He said he did it because he hates 7-Eleven.
No! It's like, fuck it, I'm gonna open up an hour before and close an hour later, cause fuck you, 7-Eleven.
Woo, that's petty.
Right? Just 1 hour too.
Mm-mm-mm.
He might as well call it a 6:30 to 12:30 then.
That's the pettiest shit I ever heard. He's at war with the 7-Eleven franchise, in particular, across the street.
Across the street.
He knows that store very well because he used to own it. And now he wants to destroy it. My goal is to get them to close, he said. It's a twisted saga that involves personality clashes, corporate oversight, and expensive legal proceedings.
Oh, shit.
And it first got nasty when Musa took a very particular opinion on the 7-Eleven product line. He thinks 7-Eleven hot foods are kind of gross. The hot dogs and taquitos were bad enough, he says. They sit on the rollers and no one would buy them, and every day I would throw out $200, $300 worth of food that I paid for.
Right.
But then, he says, the field consultant for the region forced him to become the first store in the area to start offering pizza and chicken wings. Not only that, Musa said he was told he'd have to pay for an employee to work the hot foods counter all the time. He resisted. His clashes with the field consultant intensified. Musa says he was told he had no choice and had to take the pizza and chicken wings. The decline in the relationship with 7-Eleven was devastating for Musa, who is a native of Bangladesh, and it had been his life's dream to own his own business. Well, he opened a 7-Eleven franchise in the corner of K Street in 2005 in a building he shared with Jones Department Store, a South Boston icon that was known as Jonesy's. He said everything went incredibly well, but after about 6 years, the new field consultant came in, everything disintegrated. 7-Eleven didn't treat me as a partner anymore. They treated me as a slave, he said. After chicken and pizza food fight, that's from high class. They made me sell pizza and wings just like they used to slaves.
Ah!
After the chicken and pizza food fight, things continued to get worse. He says he get written up for the slightest infractions. The issue was I didn't like him. He didn't like me. Things came to a head in 2014 when 7-Eleven accused him of shady practices at his register, failing to ring in purchases, voiding others, and immediately revoked his franchise. Musa refused to leave the store, filed a countersuit, and the matter went to court. He spent tens of thousands of dollars on legal fees before he says he was advised by a judge that he would never be able to out-lawyer 7-Eleven, so he accepted a settlement, which he would not disclose. 7-Eleven's corporate office did not respond to any inquiry from the Globe about the dispute with Musa, but court records show the case was settled by agreement of both parties October 2014. So he walked away from the store reluctantly. He spent the next year doing nothing except getting depressed. Finally decided that wasn't working, so he decided to get even. Brian Donovan, who had been one of Musa's regular customers at the 7-Eleven, can remember the exact moment he first saw Musa's new store. He had just walked out of an optician's shop and was walking up East Broadway, getting used to his new glasses. Then I saw Musa out front of the new store, and I was like, that's the guy from 7-Eleven. This store is called 612, and my prescription must be wrong. When I learned the story behind it, that he got cut from 7-Eleven roster, started his own team, I thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard. A gang fight over ho-hos and lukewarm coffee. Musa said about half of his new customers are his old customers from 7-Eleven, people like Dave Duffy, who was in the 6-12 recently getting a 7-Eleven South Fountain soda. I came here because of him. He greets everyone with a smile, and this feels like an American success story. Corporate pushed him out, so he went right across the street and opened his own shop. What's not to love? Business has been growing slowly, Musa says. He is somewhat in a hidden spot behind a large tree on the site of the former Flood Square Hardware store, and is just a few doors down from the convenience store called The Hub. long time staple of the neighborhood that is one of the top sellers of lottery tickets in the state. But he's trying strategies to attract particular corners of the local market. Carries a variety of snack foods from Ireland, things like Tato's tips and frozen bread from Pat the Baker. He also sells MBTA passes and is the only UPS access point on the eastern side of the neighborhood, allowing young professionals who have moved to the area to have packages delivered to the store, avoiding missed drivers and stolen boxes. But his focus is still on outmaneuvering 7-Eleven, and for that, his strategy is simple. I know the price of everything in that store, he said with a smile, so I sell the same things cheaper. And then he said, and then there's what he doesn't sell. No hot food, he says. Never. I guess the race of this petty ass motherfucker, Abu Musa.
Oh, he's Abu from The Simpsons.
Graces. Nigga, we love generics. Bet everybody had Jerry Curl. Wait, where we at? Oh yeah, nigga, we love generics. Bet everybody had Jerry Curls like in McDowell's. Oh. Arab trying to sell Martin Payne a Hachi Tachi television. Arab name is still better than Coom and Go East Indian. His brown buns don't have seeds. They have the Big Mac. We have the Big Mick African booty scratcher.
Oh.
Sells blueberry squishies at 612 East Indian. Sells magic flying carpets in the back Indian. Southeast Indian. I heard Bangladesh. But that's not a race. That's just, you can be from Bangladesh and be white. Think about it, Lena. Indian, and I eat the hot dogs and wings and pizza 7-Eleven. Travel ban. Banny. Travel banny. Oh, Indian. Well, the correct answer is, guys, if you said Indian, Karen, you got it right. Y'all did guess other stuff, African and shit like that. Wrong. Yep, that's him in the picture.
His pet is on fleek.
6-12.
Yeah, 6-12.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh my God. Yeah, they right. It's just like the McDowell's.
Dolph brand.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do one more. We'll do the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race so far. Karen is 2-for-2 today.
Woo-hoo!
That's right. Let's see if she can finish on a strong note. Let's see. How about I don't even know what this one. Okay. A man admits to duping women into sex for porn rehearsals.
What?
Another dude did this. This is kind of common. I thought those videos online were fake, but now I'm like, I don't know,
but like, they might be real.
A Kansas City area man has pleaded guilty to duping dozens of women into having sex with him on camera by telling them they were rehearsing for roles in a pornographic movie. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 34-year-old Mario Antone of Raymore.
Doing the audition couch.
The black couch audition. Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know.
I thought that was, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was real, but you know, it's one of those things where you go, okay, they really only do this in porn.
Mario.
Apparently not.
It's either Mario Antoine or Mario Antone. Antoine. Mm-hmm. Raymore, Missouri, pleaded guilty to one wire fraud account, will be sentenced to 10 years in prison under the terms of the deal he agreed to Friday. He also will be required to pay restitution to his victims. He faces spending up to 60 years in prison for the plea deal. They say he created online aliases as a talent manager, photographer, and videographer, and claimed to work for fictitious companies in the pornography industry. The companies had legitimate sounding names like Playboy Worldwide, Playboy Asia, and The Dash Agency. He promised 10 or more women between $550 to $1.5 million after signing what they thought were legitimate contracts for jobs with his companies, according to Kansas City Star. The women were first contacted on Facebook by Antoine posing as a woman named Nikki. The woman, quote unquote, would then tell victims they could do an adult modeling for videos shown in private accounts in foreign countries and make tens of thousands of dollars. He would then lure the women to his house, tell them having sex with them on camera was part of their audition. He also showed them forged checks to other models, IRS documents, various other documentation to make the transaction seem legit. But then he never paid up and the women complained. Antoine forwarded images of the sexual activity to their employers or significant others. So basically like, oh, y'all got a problem with me not paying you. Well, now I'm going to send this to your boyfriend and your family and shit. Also, kind of wild. Some of these women were doing porn without their significant other knowing, or was he just capitalizing on that? Like, I don't even understand what the... That's weird.
Because the thing is, there's a lot of stigma to it, like, to it, period. You know, so it's one of those things where I'm going to quote-unquote shame you, even though you agreed, right. Even though right. You're an adult and you consented to this, I still have to shame you.
He contacted the first victim in 2011 and produced several tapes with her over the course of a year, allegedly promising $1,000 for each act. She never received payment. In November 2015, he allegedly told her she would either have to pay him $9,000 to sleep with him in exchange for him not distributing the footage they made together. She's believed to have complied, going to his house for sex to prevent him from releasing the videos. He then sent a second video victim's photographs to his first target, telling her she had made tens of thousands of dollars through a handful of roles.
And that's not true.
He allegedly offered her $2,000 for a tape audition with him. A third woman fell for the same trap, having sex with the con man on camera. When she asked for payment, he sent photographs of their trips to her employer. Yeah, see, that's the other thing. That's that amount of money is it's still like, even if it was just somebody on fucking back pay black back page or whatever, that's still a lot of money for sex, unless you're like a famous person or some shit.
Right.
Like $2,000 for 30 minutes or an hour of fucking this dude. So he just didn't want to pay.
Right.
He used her own wedding photography business for which he was found. He used to own a wedding photography business that he was found guilty of stealing by deceit and unlawful merchandise practices and spent almost a year in prison. He reportedly sold wedding packages to brides and then never showed up to take their photos. So he's just a
like
piece of shit.
Thing, right.
Authorities say there may be other victims they don't know about. Yeah, because they're probably ashamed. They're not going to come forward. So, all right. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check them and see what you guys believe. Tells women to suck his cock white. Never in the history of niggerdom has an Antoine ever been trustworthy with money. Ashy. Only has to pay money, dead giveaway, ice people white. Well, no, he's going to 10 years, he's going to jail for 10 years. Good. This devil is white. The couch was the only black thing in the audition room. White, having sex on a to an acoustic version of Seems Like You're Ready, white, black guy, a young Latin boy, says Black Rob.
Oh no, not black, young Latin boy.
This nigga ain't shit and still white. The correct answer is, you got it right, Karen, he's white. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I couldn't tell. I thought that Antoine might throw you off, but you stuck with your guns. And some of y'all got it dead wrong. I don't know why. Is it not showing on my screen?
Not yet. At least I don't see.
Yeah, I tried sharing it and it's, hold on guys. Okay, yeah, trouble talking your devices. Okay, here we go with the bullshit. Let me refresh, guys, coming right back. Mm-hmm. Sorry about this.
Mm-mm. You good.
That's pure evil.
Oh my god, it's coming out of her. I can call my father. Jesus, how I love him and trust him.
Good Girl, you can't get no infection in your booty hole. It's a booty hole.
All right, I should be back on screen right now. Okay, and then I'll show you this guy's picture, guys, and just keep in mind, listen, sex work is sex work, but it's work. You had to fuck this dude. I know you mad you ain't get your money, because you work that day. Okay. I know.
Oh, you look like he stank,
right?
He look like one of them Gamergate dudes, like you imagine to be down in your basement typing and shit. One of them men right activist dudes. Like he like when you think of them dudes, this is the picture that pop in your head.
Like a costume or something he wearing. I would diss him to
his face. And you, we heard about you before you even got up here. While you have a chance, you need to be trying to get an education, because your looks ain't gonna get you paid. Because you're not that cute. And your hair is uneven. Dusty. So I'm saying, what else are you gonna do besides pander, rob, steal, try to trick some girl up out of her baby's chair or something?
Tell me that ain't a read of his ass.
Oh my God.
Right?
You can smell them through the picture. No, thank you.
Right? Like his breath smell like old Scottish sausages. Ugh. Right?
No, I never like, baby, you gonna pay me up front.
Like his whole body smell like armpit after working out.
Right.
And he out here talking about, and I ain't, you know, his balls
stank.
Right. They earn that money. You better give them $8,000. You crazy?
No, thank you.
How dare you?
Right?
How dare you not pay the women? Anyway. A drunken man took a 3-foot-long samurai sword to a pub.
Oh.
But you were already drunk, so seems very redundant. 32-year-old man walked to a pub with a 3-foot-long samurai sword tucked into the back of his shirt. The staff saw the blue handle of the weapon sticking out of Luke Shergo's collar as he approached the bar. He was asked to leave and did. The police were called, and CCTV showed him with the weapon. Was seized. Shergold from Butts Road, Exeter, Devon, told police he turned up at his home. The sword is illegal and homemade from Japan. Police say he was extremely drunk and they found the sword in his bedroom, and prosecutor Lindsay Baker. The burly defendant made no comment in police interviews but told cops, "That's me," when he saw the CCTV video. He admitted to having a sword in the Wanford Inn in Exeter one day in April. Exeter magistrate sentenced him to 26 weeks in jail, suspended for 12 months. He's also given 12 months supervision and to pay £115 in cost. The sword was to be destroyed, and JP said Shergold has previous convictions for similar offenses and took a sword into licensed premises. So he's a repeat offender. That's why that sentencing, I guess, was so harsh, but... yeah, lock his motherfucking ass up. All right, y'all, we'll be back tomorrow. Also, for premium people, Balls Deep will be tomorrow in the morning, 10 a.m., me and Justin. So we'll see you guys then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.